Nikki with like 10 minutes of quiet time, but since we have to catch the 8:30 ferry, we're going to just start a little earlier. And so I'm just going to open us in prayer, and then I'm going to introduce our guest speaker today, mighty woman of God. And so let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this time. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful for the opportunity to retreat together as men, God. And we know that you have a lot in store for us, Lord. And not just through the speakers, God, even though you're going to use them powerfully, Lord, but God, through each one of us. And I'm reminded this morning of the passage, God. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens one another. And I pray, God, at the end of this weekend, Lord, that each one of us, God, we would be so sharp. We would be an incredibly powerful blade, God, that fights the good fight, Lord, for our families, God, for our church, for our community. And so help us to really rub against one another, God, and to interact with each other. And not just fellowship, Lord, but really a deep, profound ministry to one another, God. We all bring different gifts to the table, God, different personalities. And I pray in the mixture of all those things, God, that we would really sharpen each other, Lord. And so we thank you. We thank you for this time, this send-off, Lord. And we thank you for Steph. And we pray that you would bless her as she teaches us, God, and we receive, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so as we've been doing, actually, we just started last year, but we have one of our ladies who's going to give us a charge before we go. And this year, it was the Lord chose Steph. And so Steph is, actually, you want to introduce your wife? Is that, right? So it's Pastor Ricky's wife, and she's a teacher at the International Christian School, and a house church leader and all those wonderful things. A mother, soon to be a mother of two. That's public, right? Okay, it's public. I don't know why I get into this mess all the time. And so let's welcome up Steph, huh?
Okay, hi, good morning. I'm Steph, as P. Sam said. I think I know most of you in the room. And I was asked to lead EMP for the EMP Devo this morning. If any of you know me, you will know that my normal response would probably be to defer to someone a little bit more qualified or eloquent, like my husband, Ricky. So I'm blessed to lead house church with him because it's really great because I can kind of sometimes take a back seat. But I think that night after I was asked, I kind of was hesitant about it. And actually, I woke up, God woke me up at 3 a.m. that night, and I couldn't go to sleep until I had to go to work that morning. And I felt like in that night, the Lord was putting a certain passage on my heart to share. So please bear with me today. I'm going to try my best, but before we start, if we could pray, that would be great. Father God, I just thank you for who you are and the opportunity that you've given our church community to have the men come together for a weekend to give up their time, to give up their time away from families and from other things, Lord, and that, Lord, you are going to bless this weekend and that your spirit will come and your spirit will rain down and there will be new revelation. There will be just touching of your spirit in areas, Lord, that the men, you know, when they come together, the men will understand, Father God. So we just pray that you would just bless this weekend. You'd bless the speakers. And that this would just be a time of just retreat as well, Lord. So we just thank you in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this morning, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 20. Okay, so chapter 32, verse 20, I'll start by reading it. Hezekiah's prayer is answered. But King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land. And when he entered the temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. And many were bringing gifts to the Lord at Jerusalem and choice presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations thereafter. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received, because his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came upon him and on Judah and Jerusalem. However, Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come on them in the days of Hezekiah. Verse 27. Now Hezekiah had immense riches and honor, and he made for himself treasuries for silver, gold, precious stones, spices, shields, and all kinds of valuable articles. Storehouses for the produce of grain, wine, and oil, pens for all kinds of cattle, and sheepfolds for the flock. He made cities for himself and acquired flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him very great wealth. It was Hezekiah who stopped the outer outlet of the waters of Gihon and directed them to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all that he did. Even in the matter of the envoys of the rulers of Babylon who sent to him to inquire of the wonder that had happened in the land, God left him alone to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his deeds of devotion, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, in the book of Kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 33. So Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the upper section of the tombs of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem honored him at his death. And his son Manasseh became king in his place. So I really felt, like I was saying, that this was kind of a very daunting task when asked to speak to a group of mostly men at 7 a.m. in the morning on a Saturday. Seemed like a really hard task to do, especially because I don't really have anything, you know, I'm not a man, and I'm not going on the men's retreat. But I really felt like the Lord was saying, brought me to Hezekiah. So in order for us to understand this passage, the life of Hezekiah, I'm going to kind of give a background so we can kind of draw some application from him. But in order to understand that, we kind of need to understand the lineage that he came from and what the context of what was happening at that time. So the account of Hezekiah is found in 2 Chronicles 29 to 32 and also in 2 Kings 18 to 20. For this, I was kind of flipping back and forth between these two passages. At the time when Hezekiah became king, Israel was already divided into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah, the southern kingdom. And in Israel and Judah, there was a succession of bad kings. That there was, as the Bible stated at the beginning of each chapter, when they would chronicle the new succession of a king, they would often say, you know, this person came into power, he was at this age, his parents were these people, and then it actually stated whether they did evil in the eyes of the Lord or good in the eyes of the Lord. And many of the kings leading up before Hezekiah had done a lot of evil in the eyes of the Lord. A lot of them came into power at young ages, ranging from teenage years all the way till mid-30s is when they started their reign. So it was, you know, that time where you can imagine young rulers coming to succession and not ending up fulfilling a good reign in the eyes of the Lord. King Hezekiah succeeded his father, King Ahaz, when Hezekiah came into becoming a king, it proved to be really significant in the history of Judah. So why Hezekiah? When Hezekiah became king, this is in 2 Chronicles 29, due to time, you can read it on your own maybe this weekend, but Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for a total of 29 years. His father Ahaz had done many evil things. Ahaz had brought in idol worship for Baal. He'd sacrificed some of his own sons, and he followed in the ways of nations past, and he even burned sacrifices in the holy places that were meant to be in the temple of God. When Hezekiah took over, The first thing on his agenda, it says in the first year of his reign, in the first month, his first thing, he made no hesitation, was to open the doors of the temple and repair them. As a leader, he gathered all the priests and Levites and told them to consecrate themselves and was, in a sense, asking for corporate repentance. As a king, he was setting the tone for his leadership. He was asking for corporate repentance for the sins of the leaders of the past. The second thing that King Hezekiah did in chapter 29 was that he made a public covenant to the Lord. So they actually had, it says in 29:7, verse 17, they had 8 days of consecration. And then after that, they had 8 more days of consecration process. They said they had reached the porch of the Lord built by Solomon, which I thought was cool because it was the Solomon's porch. And then afterwards, they had 8 more days of the consecration process. So as you can kind of see, I'm kind of building up the background of who Hezekiah was. As a king, when he started his reign, he was called into his leadership. The first thing he made on his agenda was to honor God, right? He looked at what was done in the past, and he realized that there was something that was wrong. And he made this thing, and it set his kind of the tone for his leadership in his reign. Fast forwarding a little bit, if you look at the middle of Hezekiah's reign, if you were going to look at kind of, he's been a king for a while, he dealt with a lot with the Assyrians. So the Assyrian enemies were coming and they were challenging him. They would send rulers, they would send kind of commanders and get other people to go against, his own people to go against Hezekiah. And every single time, it says in 2 Kings, every single time that Hezekiah would get these threats, he brought it straight to the Lord. So he would go and he would bring that to the Lord. He would go in the temple. He would, Isaiah the prophet also at that time was helping him, giving him words from God. So that's Hezekiah during his reign. So now, knowing Hezekiah and kind of how he was as a leader, how does this passage that I was reading from 20 to 33 come into play? So I felt like the Lord was bringing this passage, especially because now this was kind of near the end of his reign, near the end of Hezekiah's life. If you were to talk about Hezekiah, his reign as the king of Judah had been a very successful one, solely due to the fact that he trusted in God for everything he had done. At this time, it says in verse 24, he became mortally ill. And he actually asked God to heal him. It says that in 2 Kings, the account in 2 Kings 20, it counts that God heard his plea when he was sick and agreed to add 15 years to his life. So he was able to live longer. He was healed. God healed him and spared him of more time. But in verse 25, it says, "But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received because his heart was proud." And that kind of, it really struck me as I was reading it, was just the fact that Hezekiah was this great king, and he had done all these great things amongst all these past kings that hadn't done so well, but yet even at the end of his life, there was some, he fell into the weakness of pride for him. And then you can even see in verse 31, there was another incident where the Babylonian foreigners would come in, and he, because he had so many wealth and so much riches, that he also kind of made no hesitation and showed them, all the Babylonians, he showed them all of his riches in his storehouse. And again, this is something that he was rebuked for by Isaiah, because again, it was pride and that he was taking a lot of this upon himself for all of his successes. So with that, in this passage, I kind of, three things stuck out to me. So if you will allow me, I'm going to share kind of the application of what are some of the lessons that I think not just men, but I think women, and I reflect on myself, can learn from Hezekiah and just his life. If you look at how he began, how he reigned, and then even the end of his life, how he ended his life. The first thing that came to mind was generational sins. Hezekiah did not follow in the footsteps of his father. He cut off generational ties, worship habits, and he tried to reverse everything that his father Ahaz had done. And it kind of reminded me that as a young girl, I had our family every year would go. It was a family ritual to go to our ancestors' graves and my great grandparents' graves, and our whole family would go. So all the extended family, the aunts, the cousins, and my dad. This is my dad's side of the family. They weren't Christians, so my dad was the only Christian. And I remember I was probably even younger than 10 years old. But I remember that my dad was very adamant. He would always prep us going to the gravesite. He'd always prep us that we were not to eat any of the food that my aunts were going to be putting on the grave to sacrifice. We were not to, burn any of the, they would buy the money or the incense. So we were not to burn any of the incense. And that we used to do it where every family would kind of take the turn to go up to the grave and bow three times to pay respect to the ancestors in our family. And actually, at that time, I was, a young kid, and I had all my cousins, and I remember feeling a bit ashamed as a kid and saying, oh, well, why do we have to do this? It's, everyone's going to be looking at us because we're doing everything that's different, and everyone else is, doing the regular thing. But my dad and my parents were really adamant on saying, no, we use this as an opportunity. And they told my brother and I, they said, just when you go up, don't bow, just pray silently and just pray over the area. As a child, I think it stuck with me, but I didn't really grasp kind of the weight of what my parents had done at the time. I realize now, as a parent myself, and having my own family and looking at the generation that's coming after me, that my parents could have very easily given in. They could have just said, let's just do the, these kids might, my kids might not even notice the difference whether they're bowing or they're not bowing. But I was taught through that. My parents taught me that there were certain spiritual things that were not going to be passed down into my family. And I really thank my parents for doing that. They were kind of gatekeepers for not letting in some of these generational sins into my family. The second thing that I kind of, if we were to take some applications from Hezekiah's example, is being God-centered in our decision-making. So Hezekiah, if you read the times when he was dealing with the Syrians and his enemies, every single time he got threats or he was in dire situations, he turned to God for all his decision-making. And because of that, in the worldly sense, it would be not logical that, someone's going to attack him, but why is he going to pray? He should be thinking of a military strategy. But in the end, it actually brought more success and more blessings to his kingdom. And for myself, about 2 to 3 years ago, talking about being God-centered in decision-making, it was a really struggling time for our family. Ricky was deciding to leave his job and enter full-time ministry. And actually took a long process to decide that as a family. It was probably one of the most stretching times for me as a Christian individually and for us as a married couple. It felt like every time we had a fear that came up about finances or insecurity about or future career paths or what effect it would have on our future family, it felt like they would come up, we would try to deal with it, and then another fear would come up. And it was kind of a stretching time. But in the end, it was actually a lesson that my husband Ricky taught me, and that in the end, even though it was difficult to make a decision like that, he sought God first in the decision. Even though this meant for him giving up his ambitions for a career in business, if we're going to keep it really real, I have to be honest that as a wife, this is something that I really struggled with. Sorry. It's the pregnancy hormones. It's actually not real. Oh, man. But I actually realized that a lot of my identity that I had put in my in what my identity was actually in what my husband did. Sorry. And it was such a hard lesson because I realized that my identity as a woman was not in what my family was or what my husband did. And God taught me that lesson as a wife. That I need to acknowledge that as the head of the household, Ricky was making a statement on my behalf. Oh man, this is really embarrassing. If you know me, I'm like the most least emotional person ever. Like Ricky's always the one that cries first about anything. And he's always like, why are you not crying? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I think, you know, for me, it was a lesson that I learned was that I had to reflect on my own heart that I had been putting a lot of my identity in securities in what Ricky did, which is kind of very, very silly. And I actually learned the lesson that as the wife, I needed to acknowledge that Ricky was the head of the household. He was making a choice to be God-centered in a big decision, and it was going to affect our household, but God was going to honor that decision. So the blessings, because Hezekiah, you know, his example, he put God first in his decision-making, and he had tons of success and blessings. 2 weeks after we made the decision that Ricky was going to quit his job. I think he already quit his job. And then he told P. Sam that he's on board. We found out we were pregnant with Lauren, our first child. So in hindsight, this was such a blessing that God had provided in the midst of an unknown. What would have been normally an event that would have sparked us to question our decision, that God, you know, God, why... perfect timing, ended up launching our family into a year of faith and blessings. We ended up naming Lauren's middle name Faith because this was truly a reminder that when God was placed first, blessings came. Okay. So the third lesson that I think Hezekiah, when I was reading it, I was kind of... learning from Hezekiah's example was at the end of his life, this passage that chronicles his end of his life, Hezekiah's pride kind of in one moment kind of succumbed him and angered God. He momentarily lost sight of God, and as a result, God sent Isaiah to tell him actually that the Babylonian Empire, when he had all those storehouses of all his riches and blessings, that one day the Babylonian Empire would be coming to take those away from his kingdom. But it wasn't going to be in his lifetime. Reading about how Hezekiah was so faithful through his 29 years of reign as a king, and then how in one instance pride seeped in, reminds us that nobody can escape from the realities of Satan's schemes and also the sinful nature of mankind. In his life, Hezekiah enjoyed many successes and blessings because of his ability to stop bad generational sins, being centered in his decision-making, but in the end, he struggled to finish well. Am I for time? Okay. I think if someone's leading worship, okay. So I think as I was, you know, I want to wrap it up because I know we have time limit. But as I was kind of preparing for this Devo, I can be very honest that as a woman, I realized I cannot profess to understand a lot of the hardships and the challenges and struggles that men face. I can only probably look at the key men in my life, my father or my husband, to kind of understand a little bit about, how men are supposed to live. But I cannot even imagine the pressures and temptations that Satan uses on men, knowing that they are the spiritual heads of households, families, and ministries. As a daughter, a wife, and a mother, I know that many times it's very obvious that I overlook that the men in my life have to struggle to be God-fearing men. I think, I really had to reflect on this and apologize that it's actually probably a lot harder than I think. And I haven't walked in, men's shoes. But learning from Hezekiah and this passage in his life and his reign, it reminded me that the Bible is also full of men and women of God who at one point in their lives served the Lord faithfully, but not all of them necessarily finished well. In fact, some of the greatest people in the Bible ended up disobeying God, even in the end in some way. Moses disobeyed God in his instructions on how to give water to Israel, and because of that, he was limited from entering the promised land. David had, a heart after to worship God, but because of his pride, he also succumbed to adultery and murder. So just reflecting, I kind of want to think about how do you leave a God-centered legacy behind? And I challenge the men in here today, considering Hezekiah's life as an example, I really think that, maybe you won't be a king in that sense, but there's going to be a time where you're going to be called into a position or a reign or a position where you are going to have influence in whatever area God has called you to, whether it's a ministry or your family or your workplace. Will you be making decisions that are pleasing to the Lord? Or will you be like those bad succession of kings who are just remembered for doing evil in the eyes of the Lord? Maybe like Hezekiah's reign, at the beginning of it, as leaders of our families and ministries, will you be diligent about cutting off ungodly generational ties or sins? Or maybe you're in the stage of your life where you're in the middle of God's plan. You're in the rain. Will you be turning to God for every decision that needs to be made, every crisis that comes up? Or will you be relying on yourself? And lastly, at the end of Hezekiah's life, in the stage where he enjoyed so many successes and he had so much to account for, will you be aiming to finish well? So I think that's kind of my heart and what the Lord was leading me to share. I believe I can end us in a little bit of a prayer, but I think also someone's going to come up and... Ernie? Yeah. So let's just close, and then Ernie's going to come up. Father, Lord, we just we remember that we are your humble servants, Lord, and that we have nothing to deserve the things that you have given us, the positions you put us in, the blessings, Lord, the family. You have blessed us with everything that we have, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for this time, Lord, as we are looking at people in the Bible, your servants and their examples and the way that they lived by, Lord. And we know that, Lord, it's not an easy race to run in this life, Father God. So we just pray, Lord, I pray over everyone here, not only just the men, Lord, even the woman, Father God, that in the families, that, Lord, you are going to lift us up out of generational sins. You are going to lift us up out of our pride. You are going to lift us up out of situations where we don't know whether to turn to you first or to just rely on our own abilities, Lord. So, Father God, we just I just pray over this weekend again, Lord, that you are going to use it mightily, Father God. You are going to use your servants to speak. You are going to use your Spirit, and your Spirit's going to minister in many, many different ways, Lord. So we just thank you. In your name we pray.
Amen. It is done, church. And there's also said in the passage that the Lord said to Hezekiah to put your house in order, for his life is numbered. Today, the remaining minutes that we have in this prayer time, let's make it count every minute by just taking what is rightfully ours that God gave to us. And I will open it by reading Psalm 133. And it said, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." Say amen. "It is the like precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." You know, church, when the people of God dwell in unity, the devil is tremble with fear. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. You can do more than that. Say amen. Amen. And when they began to praise the Lord, the enemy run. The enemy flee. The enemy defeated. Just as like today, this very moment, that men will going to praise and worship and honor God, and the enemy will run. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. With conviction, say amen. Amen. So now begin to praise the Lord. Begin to honor Him. Raise your voice. Shout to the Lord. Worship Him, so the enemy will run and flee in our midst. Come on, church. Come on, man. Praise and honor God. Lift Him up. Raise your voice. Declare His power of the Lord. Declare His glory, His lordship, His sovereignty. Come on, church. Oh, kahaya shandakara baba shandakara. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. Blessed are you, O God, King of the universe. Come on, church, praise the Lord. Blessed are you, O God, King of the universe. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Church, men of God, kingdom men and women of God, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Oh yes, God. We honor you and we glorify you, God. We declare your lordship. We declare your power. We declare, oh God, your magnificence, your Lord God. We declare, oh God, you are a sovereign God, Lord God. In this place, in every heart of your people, Lord God. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. And as we pray, Father God, and lift up to you, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your mighty presence. We thank you for the open heaven, oh Lord God, right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with praise and thanksgiving. Your peace which transcends all understanding guards our heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Your grace give us hopes each day, knowing that you will give us strength for whatever we face. As nothing is a surprise to you. In all things you work for good of those who love you, who have been called according to your purpose. Father, we lift up special prayer for this man standing in this room right now, and women, God. We pray that men all ages to grow in relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Encouraging each other to be servant leaders in their families, church, work, and communities. For just as we receive Christ Jesus our Lord, you desire us to continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as we taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Lord, it is your will. Please soften the hearts of the men here and ones that couldn't make it too, so that they may know you better and love you more, and step up with purposely strength and courage to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Please motivate our men to impact their families, friends, and their community for the cause of Christ. I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help coming from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heavens and earth. You are the vine and we are the branches. Show us how to remain in you and you in us. Because apart from you, we can do nothing. Lord, show us to keep your book of the law always in our lips, meditating on it day and night, so we may be careful to do everything written on it. Let your Holy Spirit guide our men to be spiritual leaders in their home, and teach their families your word, and to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray for the full armor of God and stand strong against the evil, and not to be ashamed to spread the gospel in their home, work, and community. We pray that our men will walk in integrity as men answerable to God, holy as you called us to be. We pray for godly environment where masks are taken off and men hold each other accountable. We pray for strengthened marriages that grow from men submitting themselves to you, where husbands love their wives as you have loved the church. We pray for the open lines of communication and grace in our marriages, and for men to treat their marriage as a covenant and not a contract. Father, please give our men the courage and the faith to be seed cast into the good soil, and to be the man who reads your words and understand it, and that as they are built up spiritual leaders and men of devotion and prayer. And as we journey to the mountain to seek and hear your powerful voice, we praise you, O our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our brothers. May you give us an ear to hear, an eye that can see, and a heart to obey what the Spirit of God is saying. May you give us faith to rest our hopes on your promises. Then we shall be ready for every service and sacrifice. Lead your men, O God, to walk in victory even now, and make this event to be our spiritual markers. And finally, men, O God, raise up men to fulfill their destiny, to arise and accomplish the will of God that He called us to do. And this all we humbly ask in the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the kingdom men and women will shout, Amen, Amen, and Amen.
This song together as a confession, as a prayer from our hearts. Come, thou fount of every blessing. To
I'm Jackie, and as for EMP this morning, we're going to give it a close here, and this is really the beginning of the men's retreat, so I really encourage you guys to, after this, just to make your way to the Macau Ferry. You know, please just socialize along the way rather than stay around here, because we're trying to make it to the ferry by at least 8 to 8:15. On the way out, there will be food distributed to you. A brother has kindly donated breakfast for us, which is a great amen. And so, yeah. So please make your way out. And bless you. We'll see you on the ferry.
Jackie.
Yep.
I just need two people that can help me carry some stuff.
Can we have two people help P. Nate carry some stuff? And if you're part of a house church, please go with your house church so people can keep numbers. If you're not part of a house church, please just come with one of us. Thanks.